welcome one and all as Fantastic Geek looks into the mists of time to this recently concluded D23. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Matt. Hello, everybody. Here today to talk to you about the massive D23 two-day slate full of reveals, announcements, etc.
Pete, as we make our way, at least in spirit, to Anaheim to reflect on the D23 experience, I also want to turn back to a couple days ago when we were podcasting She-Hulk Episode 4. Pete, it's all disnected.
It is. We'll be hitting Episode 5 this coming Saturday. Our Andor final preview, the forthcoming Star Wars series coming to D+, be coming out this week. And then we will be podcasting the Andor 3-episode premiere on Saturday, September 24th, at which time it's going to push She-Hulk to Fridays for the remainder of the run there. So you'll have your She-Hulk Fridays. You'll have your Star Wars Saturdays. We do Star Trek Lower Decks right now on Sundays. That will remain in that slot.
Pete, I will admit I'm a little nervous doing all that, but you know what? It's going to be a ton of fun.
We did it in June. This isn't as many straight weeks of that. We're going to be fine. And then, now we're going to talk about all this stuff that hasn't come out yet.
That's true. At least, Pete, there's this consolation. I really get the feeling that there are some great characters, settings, situations in Andor. I think that these are characters that we're still going to be hearing about years and years from now as their adventures just go on and on. I really have a good feeling. But Pete, there we are again in spirit. We weren't actually there, but let's transport ourselves to the site of some exterior filming for Picard Season 1, the actual Anaheim Convention Center. Where would you like to begin in some of the great news shared at D23?
Why don't we start with the Lucasfilm presentation, since that came first of the things that we cover.
Indeed, Pete, Harrison Ford, rascal that he ever is, taking the stage to hype Indiana Jones 5, which I guess is a thing, even though Indiana Jones 4... Pete, somehow it goes Indiana Jones 1, 2, 3, then 5. How about that? But Harrison Ford promising that after this, I'm done. I will not fall down for you again. This his final indie movie.
This about a week after John Williams was at the bowl out in Los Angeles playing music from Indiana Jones 5 for the first time. Talking a little bit about, we're hearing some character names finally. No, the film will not be called Indiana Jones 5, nor will it, as has been speculated in the Hollywood press, just be called Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's a terrible idea for a title. It needs to be Indiana Jones, you know, and the something of the something.
Yeah. Something. Let's remember, it's no longer Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's still Raiders of the Lost Ark, but it is actually Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Pete, it reminds me, if I may take a slight tangent, there's an article in the Hollywood Reporter today talking about, essentially, it was a low-key victory lap to say, yeah, all those rumor websites that aren't Hollywood Reporter, Deadline, and Variety, who totally had major casting announcements. Like,
oh, dude, it was awful.
Yeah,
they
like
so embarrassingly wrong. It was great.
And I think just a little bit of a reminder that, you know, when there are rumors shared in Hollywood Reporter and Deadline and Variety, those are rumors that they probably meant to get out. Like, to hear people at D23, the announcement, we're going to do a sequel to Enchanted, and it's called Disenchanted, and people are screaming like the Oprah Winfrey, you get a car, you get a car. And I saw that clip, and I was like, this was in the entertainment press 2 years ago, and they filmed it last year, and it's like, I liked Enchanted well enough, but like, if you're that surprised about it, Pete, I guess you're not listening to this podcast or part of the larger discussion on Twitter and so on and so forth, but Pete, Indiana Jones and the Untitled Something of the Untitled Something, I feel a little torn. I feel hurt by Indy 4. I feel like they took my lunch money and ran away. Help me understand, Pete.
Well, I don't feel hurt by that. I appreciated it for what it was. I have a soft spot for it, but I love my Indiana Jones movies. Do you think, Matt, prior to Indiana Jones 5 next summer, we could maybe get those four previous movies on Disney Plus?
Well, here's the thing. They're Paramount movies. So there's a whole rights issue, which is wonky. And I don't know what the solution is to that. So that's why it's not. Well, I guess here's the solution, Pete. The solution is, you know those like green things that are about 6 inches long and 3 inches wide that go in your wallet? If Disney gives enough of those to Paramount, they could figure it out. Until then, it's just like detente. And I don't know, maybe somehow that's wrapped in. And Indiana Jones 5 hits theaters, and it's now on Paramount Plus and Disney Plus, the previous four or something. I guess, Pete, in the land of Hollywood, people can dream.
Well, at least we have that John Williams tease there of Phoebe Waller-Bridge's character, Helena's theme, coming for next summer. Other than that, Matt, we've seen a single image of that movie. Yeah, there's plenty of paparazzi photos and video, etc. All sorts of rumors of how it might go. I've said for years I will not believe the movie is happening until I sit down in a theater and watch it. I just about believe this one is happening, but I can't wait to check it out next summer.
Maybe it'll be Indiana Jones and The Adventure with Batgirl, and they both disappear. I don't know. Pete, your beloved Lucasfilm did not just stop there when it came to sharing, let's say, non-Star Wars news. We got the Indiana Jones. We'll be talking about Star Wars in a little bit. What else can we look forward to before next summer?
The Willow TV series, we've had a date for some time, November 30th, gave us an excellent new trailer there, a lot more to see, and really looking forward to that latter half of November.
For me, the memory of Willow is such an interesting one, seeing it on tape, and it was like one of those things where, okay, you got the rental, so you watch it, you know, couple of times while you have it for the weekend or whatever. I remember being at my friend's house and we're watching it. You know, we've seen it before, watching it, and we're having our chips and our soda and whatnot. And we kind of go, wait a minute, that bad guy with the black mask, that's kind of like Darth Vader. And like the sorceress lady, she's kind of like the emperor. And I said, yeah, obviously there's some intention there. First view in a larger world, the Hero of a Thousand Faces, etc. But really, really looking forward to this show. And I think this is one of those things where Willow is an important part of a lot of people's childhoods, but it's not a precious thing. You know, like, I'm not necessarily going in there to be like, look, Pete, look, they made a reference to the river that was could not be shown because of the and now they are like, it's not that serious for me. Give me a nice Willow thing with a really great cast here. I dug the teaser trailer that they did. Was it maybe for Disney Plus Day last year, where kind of everybody didn't know the shtick of it. Everybody didn't know Warwick Davis, or he was being a little snippy with it. Was just delightful and silly and all of that. Yeah. So bring it on. Bring on the spirit of Willow.
And Christian Slater joining the cast here. Aaron Kellyman, ex of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun. Like you said, it's not the thing everybody points to, but it's a film in the 80s that people have a soft spot for. And how can you not love Warwick Davis? And they gave you the little guys there in the trailer. It scratched an itch there. And definitely didn't look as bad as in the 80s.
Pete, I want you on the record here, okay? Is Christian Slater playing the role of Mad Mardigan, slightly reimagined, you know, given Val Kilmer's health state and so forth. Is Christian Slater Mad Mardigan?
I hope not. I have faith in them to be reverent to that. It's not Val Kilmer's fault that he's unable to speak without assistance, and then, you know, the links that they might try to go to do that, and how it might be cumbersome. Maybe a relative?
Angry Mardigan, cousin of Mad Mardigan. Pete, shall we stick with Lucasfilm and get into Star Wars TV, or where would you like to go to next?
Let's do that Star Wars TV there. For some time, it's been available in really shaky cam from bad vantage point video, but the Mandalorian Season 3 trailer, this a different cut of it, but with a lot of the same, you know, big wide shots, finally available to everybody.
I kind of marvel, no Disney pun intended, at how the trailer is really selling, unsurprisingly, I might add, but selling the mythology of Mandalore and fighting over the throne, maybe perhaps not the literal throne, but, you know, fighting over the leadership and so forth. It will be an interesting turn if that is truly the tone of the whole season, just to think about how this show started out, you know, lone man out there in the snowy desert of sorts, and kind of, you know, so far on the edge with kind of no mythology to speak of, slowly building, slowly building, slowly building. It'll be quite a thing to get to this third season, where potentially it's, you know, about these people and their creeds and the competing views of it and so forth.
Yeah, it's going to be like a Mandalorian Civil War, and they're going to fight over the Darksaber, something that we've been saying for a couple years now. To see that shot of the bombed out Mandalorian capital after the Night of a Thousand Tears that we, you know, got some montage flashback footage in the Book of Boba Fett. I think it's going to be really special. Katie Sackhoff's presence there. Of course, you got the baby, you got Grogu, the cuteness going on there. But yeah, I mean, I've been sitting the past couple days since we saw that footage. Matt, we haven't seen an actual episode of The Mandalorian, slow down, the Book of Boba Fett for just a minute, okay, since 2020.
A, that is astonishing. B, I think it is to the credit of the kind of just, you know, the wacky, weird storytelling of Book of Boba Fett. I continue to just, I don't love the final product, but I love the fact, I love the journey that they took us on, including, I mean, look, the Return of the Mandalorian, that Book of Boba Fett episode, it's a full-on Mandalorian episode, and I really thoroughly enjoy that.
They made it essential viewing. You're going to have to, you know, previously on The Mandalorian, here's the Book of Boba Fett. That they're going to give you that. Oh, you took your helmet off. You're a Mandalorian no more. You got to go beneath the mines of Mandalore. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's a completely essential turn there. Pete, I know it is reported that it will be out in February of 2023. I must confess I've lost track. Is that official through the trailer? Okay, so we have it narrowed down to February 2023. Of course, it'll be interesting, whether you want to discuss it now or in a bit, as we get to the Marvel Studios schedule, what's that overlap look like? I think that we've seen kind of premier, like top tier Star Wars or Marvel maybe going side by side with something that's 3-star as opposed to 5-star, that sort of thing. But I mean, with Mandalorian set and some of this other stuff not set, it'll just be interesting to see how the schedule unfolds.
They're very conscious of it after June, that experiment of Obi-Wan and Ms. Marvel overlapping there. We've since seen the rescheduling and the move. So first was moving Andor back a little further, and then giving She-Hulk the Thursday premiere day so that Star Wars could have the Wednesday. They don't even want them on the same day. They don't want to split that audience. Or the Fantastic Geek audience, Matt.
That's handy, too. It is interesting to reflect, and this is something we've talked about a bit on the podcast and a bit off mic. It's not ideal that Disney has made these scheduling changes. Like, they're clearly responding to certain things, and if you're going to reschedule in order to make the best product overall, so be it. Clearly, it's time and money wasted when you are changing dates and changing people's expectations. Now you have an old poster or whatever it might be. I understand, Pete, there's been a change with Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 2, that getting pushed back a few months as well.
They were never officially announced for the end of September, but people kept pointing to, and particularly September 28th, but now that'll be early 2023. That's going to be January 4th. That moving, no doubt, because they have the Tales of the Jedi Clone Wars addendum, if you will, that there's teleprompter info is going to drop all at once on October 26th.
Do you think are those like mini episodes? Is it six, is it 6 20-minuters? Is it, what does that show look like in terms of, like what is being dropped all at once?
I've seen some conflicting information that it's 6 shorts. I don't know how long each. They're going to focus on Ahsoka as a child. There was a trailer they put out this weekend. There's a lot of stuff with a young Count Dooku, and then with Qui-Gon Jinn as well, voiced, of course, by Liam Neeson. We talked about that when we were doing Obi-Wan Kenobi. But there's also going to be some interesting stuff, Matt. We're going to see the Yoda species character of Yaddle quite a bit in that series, and apparently does not talk like Yoda.
There is a there is a lone source on the Wikipedia for Tales of the Jedi that suggests 15-minute episodes.
On Wikipedia alone, because of the wobbly nature of that.
Yeah.
I've heard a little longer than 15 minutes, but it is the same style animation as the Clone Wars and Bad Batch. It's Dave Filoni. It's this labor of love. It's more of these characters, Ahsoka leading the charge in popularity right now. They want to give us some more backloading of that character.
I know we've discussed the forthcoming Andor series a bit already. Anything else you want to hit from the Lucasfilm presentation, particularly, Pete, how excited are you for Star Wars Young Jedi Adventures?
Not really. I'm far more excited for Ahsoka. And there were some more stills for that. And they talked about finishing up the filming there. We've had our Ezra actor named, which happened actually before the presentation. They're going to have Eamon Esfandi made a movie with Robert Rodriguez there. So the connection, no doubt, through the Book of Boba Fett co-showrunner and director, really looks like an adult version of that character. We still haven't heard, who's playing Hera. I think we know who's playing Hera. They just haven't said it, Matt. I think she might go home every day and hang out with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Was reference
the character of Hera, the actress, of course.
Was there any reference made to Skeleton Crew?
Yes, they showed Jude Law as well. They're filming. There's a still of him with like on Jabba's palace, and then in Mandalorian, the little the droid microphone that comes out of the door there. He's got three of them in his face.
Wow. So I think now we've covered, as I look over at the Star Wars schedule here, I know it's far too early in the process for The Acolyte, the show taking place hundreds of years before The Phantom Menace.
They're casting. They just cast the lead actor from Squid Game, who's going to be in that show there.
But I think from a PR perspective, it's too early to... You know, to say, oh, well, we just cast some people and we're going to film in 3 months and it's going to, yeah, I mean, there's a whole other D23 for them to, although I guess D23 is every 2 years. Still, there's a whole other D23 that they could hit to talk about that show. No update on Lando. I feel like maybe development has paused there, or maybe development on or wrapping up of Atlanta is what's, you know, slowing that down, but
that starts Thursday of this week, September 15th, the fourth and final season, maybe out of deference there to Donald Glover. They give him the opportunity to finish up there. If only, Matt, you know, your FX, your Fox, now under the arm of the mouse there. They controlled that schedule. I think behind the scenes they're working on that. They want to work with him. He is very one track when it comes to his projects. So no doubt in the editing bay, finishing that off, and probably getting ready for Lando. Let's take a look at the Marvel theatrical slate, Matt.
Yes, the list is perhaps a bit more familiar, given as how much of it was revealed at San Diego Comic-Con. Obviously, the next movie is Black Panther: Wakanda Forever, that you know, I think every MCU fan and beyond is certainly excited about. And there's just this sense that they're gonna take the you know, the difficult circumstances under which it was made, with the loss of Chadwick Boseman, and that, you know, that the movie will be even more special.
So much importance on this film, and still not understanding, obviously, so how they're going to hand off the titular role of Black Panther. And the initial teaser really sells that idea. So they showed some more footage. Obviously, the next one out of the shoot there.
Next in the schedule, Pete, is Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, which, you know, I continue to love those movies because I think it's a slightly lower stakes. I mean, think about what Black Panther meant to so many people, and then now all that the Black Panther sequel needs to do across a variety of emotions and all of that. That's a lot of pressure. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great moment in the theater to then say the following February, you know, this upcoming February, we could see Ant-Man and the Wasp, you know, make things little and make things big and fight some bad guys and stuff. I'm looking forward to that too.
A really, really important film in the MCU slate here, bringing in Kang, Jonathan Majors having appeared at the very end of Loki, which I've gone back and watched quite a bit, particularly of late, as He Who Remains. And the trailer that they showed there, much like the trailer they showed at San Diego Comic-Con, but still have not made either public, great line out of Kang asking if he's killed Scott Lang yet.
You're right. This is potentially the biggest stakes, although I have a feeling like we're going to be building in our anticipation to He Who Remains. I wonder if there's maybe going to be less of him in there than we think. I don't know. Also part of the Phase 5 theatrical slate here, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which James Gunn recently referred to as something like his modest passion project. And somebody said, why is there, when you can make more Peacemaker? He said, I am doing this labor of love called Volume 3. So definitely looking forward to that. I mean, Guardians, May, it's going to be May the 5th. Sorry, Pete, not May the 4th, but May 5th, 2023. I guess actually the Thursday preview would be May the 4th. Pete, why does Disney keep taking Star Wars away from you? But hopefully we can get around that because I think that too has a bunch of potential to be a really special movie. Doubtless the end cap of the Guardians saga.
Speaking of special, Matt, if only there was some way, the first of which they really kind of dropped blind a little later in this presentation, that we'll be getting that Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special in November. What, October? We going to do anything by night?
There is going to be Werewolf by Night, the first Marvel Studios special, which is kind of a lame title. Like, it's a 1 hour. It's a 1 hour thing.
I completely disagree. It has the feel of like a CBS special from the 70s or 80s, which is the tone they're going for with the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special and the Star Wars holiday special. I fully expect like whatever the Groot version of Life Day is, it's going to be a blast. But the dry run, if you will, is Werewolf by Night, October 7th, not, you know, closer to Halloween. They like to sometimes do this, hey, it comes out in October, but it's a Halloween thing.
Pete, there used to be a channel, it still is around, that people used to watch, that once upon a time Disney paid like $3 billion for, and now it's called Freeform, okay? They do 31 days of Halloween. So you want to tell me that on October 7th, we're going to get some Halloween early. I'm certainly game for it. That trailer is really interesting because I think the trailer says to kids younger than a certain age, don't watch this. You will legit be scared. This isn't a not look between your fingers. This is going to scare you off. I would even wonder, Pete, like, is Werewolf by Night going to be TVMA? Because I feel like that's not on brand for Marvel.
I think Kevin Feige said it'll be a little scarier. Werewolf by Night, of course, the comic title that Moon Knight first appeared in. And then, you know, you watch the trailer, which just has this great grindhouse vibe to it. You know, if you look real closely, there's some interesting stuff.
You mean like Kirk Thatcher, who played music punk in Star Trek IV and Star Trek Picard and Spider-Man No Way Home? Pete, is he reprising his Spider-Man, or maybe it was Spider-Man Homecoming?
I don't think he'll be, you know, punk by night in Werewolf by Night. But there's Vampire by Night. There is a man thing in that trailer. And you pointed out some things I didn't catch.
Well, wait, I want to stick with Kirk Thatcher for a second. I want to genuinely propose. I know that, like, from a real legal rights issue, he cannot be playing the same character as he did in Star Trek because that's a Paramount asset and so forth. He played a rock and roll guy in a Spider-Man movie. Can this character, whether it's tied to another comic person or whatever, can Kevin Feige, who is a Star Trek fan, can he say, Kirk Thatcher, your character, we're gonna say you're man thing, or you're a vampire, or you're a Frankenstein, or you're whatever, but also your first appearance was in Spider-Man No Way Home, therefore we are kind of implying that Star Trek and Marvel are right next to each other. Do you think there's that possibility?
I mean, if anybody can do it, Kevin Feige can.
Pete, as for the wonderful things that I observed, I of course remember what all of those were, so why don't you just tell them back to me?
There's the TVA appears in that trailer, so we'll get a little bit of that.
Which adds to the potential, like, you know, do we get a Moon Knight, as you're proposing, do we get Moon Knight, do we get TVA? Like, this thing that feels very, you know, you want to get Oscar-winning composer Michael Giacchino to direct the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're going to spend 3 or 4 weeks in Atlanta to film a Halloween special type thing. Side note, kind of entering a very seasonal phase for Disney Plus, you know, this Halloween special, Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, the Santa Claus TV show, which, you know, you can watch at any time, but clearly, you know, I doubt there's going to be a lot of like, oh man, it's April, let me watch the Santa Claus. It's just interesting that Disney Plus, there's a lot of kind of seasonal stuff this season and less kind of, you know, evergreen tent poles. But the potential for this weird little thing to then turn into, you know, oh, you love it because it's the it's the Book of Boba Fett for Moon Knight, if you will. It's the Book of Boba Fett for Loki and with the TVA appearance or something like that. It, you know, it could blow up to be this huge thing.
There's been such a clamor for, you know, when will we see Moon Knight? And then that the character appeared in the Marvel Studios card and then disappeared, and people were, tongues were wagging, oh, they've taken Moon Knight out, they've gotten rid of him. It'd be really cool for him to pop in, or Khonshu, or just to give a reference there. But I think these specials, you know, all right, you do one for Halloween, you do one for the holidays, obviously a new foray for them, a way to kind of get at some things that might not be movie stuff or could not fit in the slate, might not be TV shows unto themselves. This, considering that, you know, we got a couple films before the next, at least announced date. We still don't have a firm date on the next Marvel Studios TV show after She-Hulk.
So, Pete, sticking with the theatrical releases here, we of course have the Marvels coming out, you know, dead of the sun. I shouldn't say dead, that sounds negative. End of July, July 28th of next summer. And I know Brie Larson kind of doing a little kind of implied, or maybe not so implied, nanny nanny poo poo, like, if people even want me to play Captain Marvel, because right. Yeah, which I thought was
as if she's gonna leave it, as if she's not gonna be in this massive multiverse saga. And the footage that they showed off there, you know, last having seen Brie Larson at the end of Captain Marvel, when she appeared to swap places, or Kamala Khan appeared to turn into her. But what the trailer seems to indicate is that her, that Monica Rambeau, that Kamala Khan, when they use their powers, they switch places. Apparently there's a cute scene. I have not seen it. There's a cute scene where suddenly Kamala Khan is swapped with Monica Rambeau and she's flying a ship in space.
Ooh, fun. Maybe they could have a war in the stars.
And a whole bunch of Kamala's family, which, let's be blunt, after Amon Vellani was the highlight of Ms. Marvel, were the character actors that inhabited her sphere.
Pete, correct me if I'm wrong. There was not, I mean, I know next in the schedule is Blade, November 2023. Was there much, if any, Blade discussion at D23?
Nothing. And maybe, you know, we're going to have some vampires in Werewolf by Night. Maybe, you know, mum's the word on that until that pops up.
Oh, as I do a little digging here, here's one reason, Pete, why they might not have a ton. They're going to start filming it next month. Now, that said, obviously you can do a, you know, cast roll call kind of thing. But, well, let me ask you this. What's your expectation for Blade 2023? And most specifically, you know, do you anticipate it being Marvel, the first R-rated Marvel Studios film?
I don't. I don't think they'll go R until Deadpool.
Hmm. Time will tell on that. The last two films rounding out Phase 5, both of which had definitely some good moments at D23. First, let's talk about Captain America New World Order. That's May 2024. And, you know, some great buzz coming out of D23 for that.
I mean, bringing the leader back, bringing, you know, Tim Blake Nelson back since 2008.
That's the most incredible thing that has happened in the MCU. Like, I would have been okay if you just let that go. They said, no, we have one more thread, time to sew it in.
Yeah, it's tremendous that they would go back and reach for that. I rewatched it as, you know, She-Hulk's come out, and we've gone back to Abomination. And that they can reach for this, that they have this expansive history at this point, you know, 14, 15 years. And to think 2024, they're going to reach back to a character that was in a film in 2008 in the second film of this cinematic universe. I mean, what number film will that be?
We will have passed the 30 film mark at that point, I think. It's just incredible. And kind of plenty of new territory there, certainly. I like that we cap Phase 5, at least theatrically, with Thunderbolts that we heard about at at San Diego Comic-Con. And then to get all the familiarity of, you know, the Thunderbolts lineup, including Winter Soldier, Ghost, U.S. Agent, Yelena Belova, Red Guardian, the David Harbour character, Taskmaster, and Val, at least, Pete, that's what they've announced so far. I mean, look, clearly it's taking, like, hey, let's do a Marvel does Suicide Squad type thing. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for this lineup.
David Harbour being the connective tissue to the Suicide Squad, and that Marvel is including him. He was the one everybody didn't have as a Thunderbolt, Red Guardian. So to reach for him there, I think, is inspired. And then all the controversy, Matt, of where is Abomination? Where is Baron Zemo? Why you wreck my Thunderbolts?
I would say, as I said on Twitter, yet. I mean, I feel like they will be a part of it. And if they're not, it'll be because there's other use for those characters. It's not like they don't know Baron Zemo is beloved in a variety of ways. And, you know, they didn't need to reach for Abomination in She-Hulk. They did because it made sense in a variety of ways. Surely that'll be the case again. So just give it time. And heck, Pete, it might be in the remaining episodes of She-Hulk where we go, oh, the reason they didn't announce it is because in She-Hulk, we return to Abomination. He says, you know, he says whatever. There's the Val scene, or there's whatever it might be to tie
his
him
soulmates,
in.
Soulmates, his pen pals. Yeah. Like, they may not want to reveal it just yet. And you know what? That's fine.
Pete, last but certainly not least, there it was. The grand reveal that the Fantastic Four cast would be played by. Take us through the list, Pete.
I've seen John Boyega in there. I've seen John Krasinski, Emily Blunt, just about every name you could possibly throw out. And their cast right now includes director Max Jackman.
No wine before it's time, if I may coin a phrase. But I don't know. To think, Pete, that the last D23, okay, fine, COVID-19, obviously highly disruptive to Hollywood and the world at large in general. But to think that in the late summer of 2019, when there was the last D23, how they were talking about Phase 4, and it ended with a 4 logo, and it was like, And we're going to be talking about X-Men and Fantastic Four at a later time. But we have those rights. Like, you're kind of just thrown in there as, like, the icing on the cake. And here we are, the next D23, you know, several years later. And we're not really that much closer. I mean, we are, but we're not to Fantastic Four. It's just, it's wacky is what it is.
Perish the thought, Matt, that somebody who's going to direct the performance of actors might actually be involved in who he'll direct.
That could be, although, you know, Kevin Feige owns this dojo. And you
but
know,
they also just rescued slash stole Shackman back from Paramount, where he was the 11th director of a fourth Star Trek Kelvin Universe film.
Matt Shackman did the job he was hired to do, which was to oversee a development period for that movie until such time that they said, oops, it's not going to happen in the time frame we thought. Now we need to press the reset button. You know, he did his job. He cashed those checks. It's all good. But I think on the one hand, it's curious. I also think, you know, it is inconceivable right now that Marvel Studios will need to do a universe reset at any point. You know, it's the comics. So maybe at some point they sit and go, and the universe eater has come, ack. And then, you know, 18 months later, there's, you know, they start with Tony Stark anew, you know, in the 2030s and the 2040s, whenever it is, you know, maybe they'll do that at some point. But in the interim, okay, the things from the first 10, 12 years of Marvel Studios that maybe don't work anymore can get replaced, in my opinion, can get replaced not only by kind of some of the friends you made along the way, like Thunderbolts and things of that sort, but, you know, the next great phase of Marvel Studios can be Fantastic Four and those connected to it, and certainly can be X-Men. And the fact that they're holding off on it, to me, says they know that that can be a palate cleanser, and we don't need to cleanse the palate right now, so let's slow down with the race towards Fantastic Four and X-Men, even though we all really want to get there.
You know, there's been all this gestalt over, oh my goodness, Phase 4 has no direction, and they come out for San Diego Comic-Con, and they lay out, here's your Phase 4, your Phase 5, here it's going to two Avengers movies, which we don't make anymore, boom, two Avengers movies, this multiverse saga, okay, where you're going to have, you know, forget your Avengers uniting alone, Matt. Now it's your Avengers, probably your Young Avengers, your Fantastic Four, your Thunderbolts, okay? All these teams, it's going to build upon itself. It is building upon itself in the best possible way. And a key way that that's unfolding is on Disney Plus with the Marvel Studios TV shows.
A lot of focus given to Secret Invasion. Again, you know, slotted for early 2023. Is that around?
Thank goodness.
Mandalorian?
We thought it was 2022, and we're like, where, how?
Yeah, I guess conversely, let's look at it this way, Pete. Now that we're like, oh, thank goodness, a little podcasting break, a little chance to catch our breath. Now I'm going to complain, obviously tongue in cheek here. So between October 14th, the day after the She-Hulk season finale, between that and whenever Secret Invasion comes, Pete, let's see, and I should mention at that point too, Werewolf by Night will be out. So all we get from the MCU is just the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special on Disney Plus. Like, that's it, pinky up. Yes, there's a movie or two depending on when Secret Invasion comes out, but Pete, when do you think Secret Invasion will come out? What's the magic sauce there?
I don't think it'll be in early January, although I think that's a possibility. You've got to look at the Mandalorian time frame of when that's coming in February. So where could you slot it? You could slot it before in January, or you got to slot it afterwards sometime in March. You're going to have that big Ant-Man Quantumania film in February. I think that blocks it out anyway.
Yeah, clearly, Pete, you could fit 6 weeks of Secret Invasion starting somewhere, you know, what, first half of January, first 3 weeks of January, and still meet a Mandalorian February date, whenever that might be. So a lot of scheduling decisions here. In the middle of 2023 will be Echo, that also did have its own cast call there up on the stage. And another show where it's like, that wouldn't necessarily have been my instinct to make that show, but a lot of great characters can exist in it. Echo obviously being first and foremost, some more Fisk as well. And I wonder if Echo is going to be, you know, much like She-Hulk, where it's like, yes, there's a focus on her, but will that blind lawyer show up? Will this, will that, like, will there be a little aspect of, you know, maybe it's not the most razzle-dazzle character that everyone knows from their childhood, so we're going to have some crossroads in it as well.
I'm told that Matt Murdock, Daredevil, will show up in Echo. You have Vincent D'Onofrio there, but it's Alacla Cox's show, and she was so magnificent in Hawkeye, so giving her this feature spot, and again, building these various teams and team ups, which has really been so key to what Marvel has done in a post Avengers idea. And I say post Avengers, like, all right, you had the first two films, obviously the Avengers, everybody's chased that since 2012, but, you know, though Age of Ultron, you look back at what it gave us, you know, Wanda and Vision and, you know, Ultron, and a lot of the things, the Sokovia Accords that have rippled throughout, not as well received, not as successful financially. And they figured out, all right, you know, you can make an Avengers movie that doesn't have Avengers on it, and you can team up a bunch of these characters. And you can do it as well with the shows. So to spin Echo off, and, you know, that was one of the worst kept secrets in Hollywood as we're watching Hawkeye, that she got her own show, and they have wrapped to have the cast up there to do that. And then you keep Vincent D'Onofrio on stage to talk a little bit about not the fourth season of Daredevil. Matt, can you believe it's not going to be the fourth season? Daredevil Born Again will be a different show than the three seasons that were first on Netflix and now available when you change your parental controls on Disney Plus, like all of that stuff, yet acknowledging what came before.
Did he say it won't be the fourth season of Daredevil?
That's what the entertainment press has parroted in the past couple of days. It will not be the fourth season. It may have been something that Charlie Cox said.
I just feel, Pete, for the hashtag save Daredevil folks, you know, same cast, same crew, same writers, same directors. Indeed, Pete, I must point out with some sadness, fine, they discussed Daredevil Born Again. We know Vincent D'Onofrio. We know Charlie Cox. You know, wither the Foggy, wither the Karen. It appears thus far to be a bare cupboard there. It almost,
I mean,
sounds
Foggy's
like it's not season four.
On another Disney show, you could bring him over. I mean, if anything, let's find a spot for Devorah Wall to reprise her role.
Daredevil Born Again, there's a lot of mileage of the fact that it's going to be 18 episodes.
Eight. That's a massive show by any standards now. You know, I was talking with my wife, and obviously, you know, talking about TV and, you know, when I turn off the microphone, trying to write some TV that somebody will hire me to do, the idea that 10 episodes, maybe 13 at this point. All right. You want to say at the outside, like a This Is Us or a Walking Dead when it was doing a regular season, 16 episodes, 18 episodes. That is a boatload.
Here's the thing, Pete. They say 18 episodes. I don't doubt that they're going to make 18 episodes. I don't think they're going to release 18 episodes in a row. I think that this is 2 9-episode seasons. This is 3. Wait a minute, Pete. Like the other Marvel shows, it's 3 6-episode seasons. Now, maybe they're doing that in a way so it's not like, we'll talk about Loki in a little bit, so it's not the situation of like, we made a Loki. It's kind of out there. Let's see what people think. Oh, it's a big enough hit. Let's do a second season, which won't film for another... holy crow, that's a lot of time in between seasons. I would bet dollars to donuts that they are going to separate up this show into chunks of some sort, and that it's not going to be the first episode is on week one, and then they run 18 episodes all the way through. You know, it's ripe to be divided up, and I think that they want to have the ability to do multiple seasons, and we've seen it a little bit with Star Trek. You know, where Star Trek will say, "Oh, there's a break. Let's put something in here." You know, whether that's been the shorts or whatever it might be. I think that's kind of what they want to do here.
However they want to do more Daredevil, and that we've got Charlie Cox, that we've got D'Onofrio, they can bring back any of those other performers. It'd be great. But we've got the two most important. Okay. You mentioned Loki, Matt, the one that I'm looking forward the most to coming back. The only one at this point that's been given a second season. And now you put Short Round. Okay. Ki-Hoo Kwan, after his renaissance in Hollywood here, and it was so cute that they got him together with Harrison Ford. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom remains my favorite, and Short Round is at the top of the list. Why? I'm just so hopeful they've reunited and will reunite on a screen next summer, that somehow that character makes it into that fifth Indiana Jones movie.
Pete, I would suspect that between now and when Loki is released, Ki-Hoo Kwan, sometimes known as Jonathan Ki-Hoo Kwan, will not just be a member of the Loki cast, but will be an Oscar nominee for Everything Everywhere All at Once. But he's just, I mean, look, you look at the rest of the returning cast, right? Obviously, Tom Hiddleston, beloved, Owen Wilson, picture perfect to be, you know, across the table from him. You add Sophia DiMartino in there.
Super short hair at the on stage there. I wonder what's going on with the character. I mean, certainly you can give her a wig, but definitely stood out.
But I feel like you add Ki-Hoo Kwan to it, and it's just I feel like that's the missing element that I didn't know was missing, but now it's just like, yes, that fits. You know, whether whoever he is playing, it's just, you know, let's bring on Loki season 2 for the date of tentatively mid-2023.
Well, they're finishing filming right now. They're in the latter stages of that. Interesting, Matt, we mentioned Secret Invasion, and we have Don Cheadle in that. The Armor Wars thing announced, but at the same time, Don Cheadle has an expired contract.
Huh. I also feel, too, like Armor Wars, what, did we first get the title at D23 in 2019?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
And again, like, I don't want to underplay the COVID pause on timelines and obviously life in general. But in a certain sense, here's what I'm trying to say, Pete. Armor Wars as unmade today as it was back in 2019, unlike a lot of these other things. Like the and just one more thing from 2019 was, we're all wearing hats that say Blade. Ah, okay, Blade starts filming next month. You want to subtract, you know, 12 months out of the process due to COVID? Okay, so like, okay, a year or two, you know, 2 years or so, plus or minus COVID. Blade's coming along the way. Armor Wars still out there. And also, I kind of feel like, I know the log line is, you know, he has to, in the legacy of Tony Stark, he has to fight somebody who's doing bad armor now or whatever. Am I as interested in that log line as I am, let's say, Ironheart? Let's talk about Ironheart, you know.
Something that's really going to pop once we see Black Panther 2.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The debut of the character there, I think they were wise to soft pedal that. You know, we've known that Dominique Thorne is going to be Riri Williams. Matt, on the you know, industry website, the Blacklist, where, you know, I have a pilot script where I've received a score of an 8 out of 10. For a long time, there was an Ironheart feature film on there, which, you know, studio executives, like, they read that stuff that's up there. That was legit. And now Marvel has pivoted and made this series. And you can understand, given the importance of that comic title, the representation, and just the celebration of that the second Black Panther film is going to represent. Yes, there's the sadness with the passing of Chadwick Boseman, and, you know, what a slam dunk that posthumous Emmy was for What If, which we haven't even talked about here in season two. You know, this Ironheart beneath the surface right now, but I think we're going to hear a lot about it in November.
Ironheart is filming right now. Indications are that we're looking at a late 2023 release. So here we are talking about it, Pete. It still might be a year from now. We go, Ironheart now coming out in December 2023, something like that. But yeah, I think tons of potential there. Also on the Phase 5 schedule, and I don't believe talked about at D23, you can correct me if I'm wrong, was there any discussion of the fairly recently retitled Agatha Coven of Chaos?
No.
Which is kind of weird. Again, just looking at the schedule chronologically, like, we hit all the other Phase 5 shows, but not Agatha. I don't know if there's any tea leaves to be read, such as, does that maybe get pushed later in the calendar for a variety of reasons and then thus become a Phase 6 show, or I don't know what to make of it, or is it just so far out there that you don't want to talk about stuff that's approaching 2024, but you talk about Daredevil because the time is now and D'Onofrio is already on stage for the show that comes out in the next 10 months in Echo. I don't know, but also not mentioned something that you mentioned, Pete. What If season two, what's up with that? What if we had a date for it? What if we knew more about it?
What if that hits before Secret Invasion does?
Just like a stealth drop?
Not a stealth drop. I think, again, they'll let us know before this stuff comes out. But it's another thing to tide you over. You saw how they were able to make great use of it in August, September of last year, and then to play around with it in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness and have some fun. I think we might see it sooner rather than later.
Time will tell. I know that it's, you know, there were indications, let's say, last summer, which, you know, I'm speaking as though that's not fairly recent, but there were indications, let's say, in July that it would be an early 2023 release. As I said before, you know, Disney Plus has gotten into the habit a bit to kind of do a tippity-top show and a really, really great show, however that might be defined. I think, for example, of Kenobi, you know, legacy character, super you know, brand awareness through the roof. And then Ms. Marvel, no disrespect intended against the show, just less gravity to it. And then to have those running fairly concurrently, maybe that is what's done for What If. Maybe it's just that post-Christmas lull, and you start What If, you know, the first Wednesday or Thursday in January and run that through, and Secret Invasion comes and goes, and Mandalorian starts up as What If is wrapping up, that kind of thing.
You think of everything announced, Matt, and still, though we've had the advent now of mutants, Ms. Marvel discussion, you know, Easter egg, if you will, in She-Hulk so far about a fight in a bar, somebody with claws, still no X-Men, still no Deadpool 3. And I know a lot of people had, they're gonna tell us all about Deadpool 3 and when that's gonna happen on their D23 bingo cards.
I don't want to propose that I'm down on a Deadpool 3. I do wonder, you know, when does the lightning in the bottle fade away? And I'm not even saying, you know, because Ryan Reynolds is getting old or anything like that. Like, just when do we stop looking to the sky and saying, Deadpool 3, where are you?
He's going to be key in that multiverse saga. I really have high hopes for how they're going to use him there and how that's going to come together.
Well, and I think as we perhaps start to wrap up at least the Marvel portion here, I think we've hit just about everything else, unless Pete, you wanted to, you know, kind of dig deep into, you know, some of the park stuff, or if you want to talk about Wish, the animated movie. actually, complete tangent here, completely not on our agenda. When are they going to tell us more about the Flight of the Navigator remake that Bryce Dallas Howard is directing? Because I'm kind of down for that in every way. But I do wonder, like, you look at this Marvel slate and say, if we know, for example, Fisk can run through three shows, if we know that we're working on, you know, kind of the interchangeability of some things, you know, whether it's, you know, where's Abomination going to land next after She-Hulk, that kind of thing. Val is going from one show to one movie and so forth. You know, we don't know the ins and outs of these stories. Is it possible that, you know, a Wong type portal is opened up in Echo and Deadpool walks through and then gets pulled away into the world of Loki, like that kind of thing where it's not necessarily the focus of the show, but all of a sudden in the background you go, oh man, they're working on the Deadpool mini saga or something like that, where it's happening kind of in fits and starts. You know, you never know.
We still don't have a Shang-Chi sequel announced, Matt. And not that they haven't planned one or aren't going to do one. They just haven't set that just yet. And then Matt's favorite, The Eternals.
Yeah, it's awful weird that they didn't talk about that at all. But they do. I mean, Pete, I have.
I mean, Harry Styles is a little busy right now, right?
I have the Marvel Studios schedule taped up to the wall here. I don't have Phase 6 up there just because I need eventually to be able to see like around my monitor. But, you know, they're all the way into 2025 or 6, but no Eternals. I mean, again, the list of, you know,
there are spots, there are dates that are announced. They just don't have a film there.
Look, Look, if they're bringing back the leader, okay, anything is possible. I would be surprised if there is an Eternals 2. You want to say the spiritual successor to Eternals is the fact that all those characters show up in, you know, the next Avengers movie. Okay, so be it. You know, or they show up in Guardians Volume 3, much as the Guardians showed up in Thor 4, which is to say in a super loose supporting role. Okay, fine. I mean, if you or anybody else wants to say, aha, look, proof that they're not burying Eternals. Oh, that's one way to look at it. I mean, think of Drax's role in the Avengers movies, okay? A part of it, important at times, you know, funny lines and so forth, but not a ton of screen time. If the Eternals gets Draxified in the next 4 years and shows up like that, I'll take that more as Look, not that I'm wishing the film series ill, but I'll say I'm more right than wrong if they don't get major focus in these upcoming films.
You will take what they give you and you will like it.
Well, Pete, I think the feeling from all these D23 panels, some of which we've discussed, others of which I know, Pete, you're off mic. You are so excited about Walt Disney World gaining north of the runaway railroad there, a Coco/Encanto land, which is going to be built in, you know, probably 5 years from now. But the feeling from D23 was that it was a rousing success in which the mouse was celebrated and all these different things were rolled out to ravenous and appreciative fans.
A return to this tradition, more news, confirmation of some things we had heard but not yet had official word on.
Pete, this extra special Monday evening podcast here, as we've discussed, D23 2022, made completely possible by those who support us on patreon.com/fantasticgeek. They're the wind beneath our wings in this or any other multiverse, and we give them our thanks.
It's no D23, Matt. I'll be upfront about that. But when you go to patreon.com/fantasticgeek, and it takes just $1 a month to get behind that door, all sorts of exclusives to check out. Some stuff's been sent in the mail in some really vibrant envelopes of late. You want to get down on that. Get yourself over there. Can't contribute this month, get yourself to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating in seconds or a review in just a little while longer, all of which help us do our thing.
And Pete, let's certainly keep, you know, the entire Disney universe discussion going. How can people be in touch with you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PIETERJKETELAAR, 12,718 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with the PH, all one word, like it today.
On the Pop Culture Podcast feed, we'll be previewing Andor in the near future. Of course, this weekend, She-Hulk Saturday and Star Trek Sundays. For now, though, Pete, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
Talk to you soon.